Welcome. It's Sunday, May 22nd, 2022. Our scriptures this week are Psalm 67, Revelations 21, verse 10, and verse 22 through chapter 22, verse 5. And our gospel reading is John 14, 23 through 29. Our message this week I've titled Moving Day. So if you please open your Bibles and read with me our scriptures today. Psalms 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Selah. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Our second reading from Revelations 21. Verse 10 and 22 through 22:5. Revelations 21:10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. But verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is the lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more light. They will not need the light of the lamp, the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Then our gospel reading from John 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. For he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear from me are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to my Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Have you ever heard about the absent-minded professor? Well, one day he and his wife were leaving church, And the professor confronted his wife. Aha, so who is absent-minded now? You forgot your umbrella and left it in church. But I remembered mine, and I picked up yours, too. His wife set him straight. That's fine, dear. But the trouble is, neither you nor I brought our umbrellas to church today. The next morning, his wife reminded her absent-minded husband, now don't forget, we're moving today, and if you come to this house this afternoon, it will be empty. You guessed it. The professor forgot until he came home from school to find the house empty. He mumbled to himself, I wonder where we were moving to. So as he walked back outside, he saw a little girl and asked her, did you see a moving van here today? Yes, she replied. Then he asked, would you happen to know which way it went? Well, the little girl took his hand and said, come on, Daddy. Mama said you'd forget. Well, you know, moving is hectic, even if you do remember. And as every one of you knows, it seems like every time you think you're finished packing, you find something else to pack or haul or load. It's like the stuff sits in the room and multiplies while you got your back turned. Well, Bonnie and I have been married 49 years come August 18th. And in that time, we've moved 5 times in our first 4 years, I think. Every one of those moves was an experience. And nothing changed except the amount of stuff we had to pack and unpack. Each time we moved, it presented us with different challenges. But over the years, there's one thing that hasn't changed. With every move, you need a new set of keys. Our gospel reading today talks about God's moving day and the keys to experiencing God's movement in our lives. In the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Well, God wants to move in with you. Jesus wants to take up residence in your home and in your life. God wants to be a permanent part of your family, so that you and all around you will pray and sing as the psalmist, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Psalm 67:1. So that you can be certain when you make your final move from this life to the next, your new address will be in the holy city we read about in Revelations 21 and 22. Today God wants to establish a new address, and all that he requires a new set of keys, love and obedience. So today let's talk about those keys. Last week's message we learned about the key of love in the message I titled The Pathway of Love. So today let's consider the key of obedience. Obedience requires 3 key things we need to be doing: preparing, welcoming, and honoring. The first key is preparing. You really can't do anything without some preparation, can you? Well, it's just especially important when you move. Every time Bonnie and I have moved, we sort of developed a certain method. And that very first thing we do is to sift through everything and get rid of all the junk. You can take it all with you, but why would you want to? In preparing for God to move in with you, you have to weed through everything, because if you don't, those helping you move will pack everything up, including the trash. In our spiritual lives, if we are going to live a life in peace and abundance that Jesus wants and promised, then we have to get rid of the junk. That's a major key in preparing for God to move in with us. We have to unload the junk of our past, the old hurts, the old guilt from old sins that have never been confessed and repented. We have to let go of the baggage of those old hurts we have caused and the ones we have received. We have to pack and unpack. So if you're going to have a long-term guest or a new member of a family, you prepare. The spare bedroom gets cleaned out, the house gets cleaned up, and all residing with you must be prepared for a change in everyday routines. In preparing for God to move in, get rid of the junk in your life. Leave it at the cross. Leave it at the altar. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you could pack up your burdens and take them with you. He died so that you could leave that trash behind. And while you're preparing for God to move in, use the keys of repentance and confession. Let go of the garbage in your life. Get rid of it. Okay, so after you've spent some time preparing, now it's time for the second key, welcoming. Well, this brings to mind a story I read. A moving van was standing in front of a suburban home. The husband and wife were busy tidying up the front yard when a woman who lived at the other end of the block approached them. She smiled and said very sweetly, "Welcome to our neighborhood. Here is a fresh pie I've made to help welcome you to our street." Well, the couple looked back and forth at one another with a kind of awkward embarrassment. And after a few nervous moments, the wife spoke up, "I don't know quite how to tell you this, but we've been living here for almost 3 years. You see, we're not moving in, we're moving away." You know, some people are always welcome. And then there are people who are always welcome to leave. Well, I think she fell into that category. Our relationship with others around us will change, and some will be left behind. We all know how to make people feel welcome, so it's not just what you do, it's having a welcoming attitude. For example, if you knew you were going to have someone stay with you for a few days, you'd very conscientiously make a place for their clothes and belongings in the spare bedroom, wouldn't you? If you knew they were going to be there for a month, you'd make more room. But still, they are really only a guest, and the spare bedroom is sort of treated like a motel room. This person may even be invited in as an intimate friend, helping to solve the family problems. But until that guest becomes part of the family, the guest room will be just that, a guest room, a motel room of sorts, temporary. But the minute we welcome others as family, the whole concept of the room changes. It's no longer our room that we're letting them use. The guest room suddenly becomes their room. We move all the traces of our stuff out of the room so they can have it and make it theirs. So when we welcome the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus and the Father into our lives, when God takes up residence in our hearts, our lives become the dwelling place of God. It's no longer our room. The residence is no longer a motel room. With the help of Christ, we've cleaned it up. We've moved all of our junk out of it. And God, who loves us, makes his home in our lives, and we've become part of his family. Now, the sad truth is that we can maintain the relationship of God as a guest. We do that every Sunday when we do that kind of head bob acknowledgement to God. Or we can invite God in as part of the family. We are God's family, joint heirs of the kingdom with Christ, but only if we accept that offer. Otherwise, God just remains a polite guest, and our lives are just a motel room for God to spend the night in. You see, it's all in the welcoming. So now that we've been preparing and welcoming, now we come to honoring. Honoring is more than asking what you'd like to eat or how about a cold drink. Honoring is letting your guests choose what to watch on TV. Honoring them is turning over the remote control. Now, when our children were still living with us, that would seem to be the last thing my kids ever wanted to do for their siblings. And yes, for their parents also. But honoring is to give up control, to be obedient to someone else's wishes. So too, in our relationship with Christ, honoring is equivalent to obedience. The two words are synonymous, especially when we're talking about God or the Ten Commandments. When God says, "Honor your father and your mother," it not only means honor them, but respect, obey, and bring honor to your parents through your actions and your respect. That's definitely what Jesus means in this passage. He said, "Those who love me will obey my teaching." That's honoring. That's obedience. There's no other word that sums it up better. If you love me, you will do my will. Well, the proof of our love is our action, our faithfulness, our obedience. And that obedience has consequences, Jesus said. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. If we are obedient and faithful, God promises to move in with us. It's almost as if you were moving in with your earthly parents. It comes with a new set of rules to honor their hospitality. We need to prepare and be welcoming to the changes in our lives. To obey is to honor. But the opposite is also true. Jesus said, "He who does not love me will not obey my teachings." You know, Tuesday was primary election day, and I hope all of you took the opportunity to vote. Because our country, the faith we claim, has been given a black eye because many of our elected people did not obey Christ's teaching. Our credibility, our integrity, and our faithfulness have been called into question by overzealous, self-righteous people who have forgotten what we as a people and a nation stand for and what we have fought and died for. They have not honored God or country or the people they supposedly represent. Their actions stand in direct opposition to every Christian teaching, and especially to what we've read today. From a Christian perspective, the end never justifies the means, if it means forgetting who we are and who we represent and to whom we belong. You and I are called to honor God in all that we do. It's not enough to be preparing or even welcoming. We have to strive so that everything we do can be seen as a way of honoring and obeying God. The good news is, it's moving day. God wants to dwell in our lives. God wants to take up residence in our hearts. God wants to be with us always. And the key to that relationship is simple: preparing, welcoming, and honoring God. Let God move into your heart, your home, your life. God wants to move in with you. Jesus wants to take up residence in your home and in your life. God wants to be a permanent part of your family so that you and all around you will pray and sing as a psalmist. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, Psalm 67:1. So that you can be certain when you make your final move, from this life to the next, your new address will be in the holy city we read about in Revelations 21:22. Today, God wants to establish a new address, and all that he requires is a new set of keys, love and obedience. Well, it's moving day. Time to move. In his service, this has been Pastor Joe.